everyone, welcome to episode 2 of the podcast. I am your host, Lachlan, and with me this week we have Claudia.
Oh, hey!
Hello. We've got a couple questions this week, which is sweet, so I just wonder, should we start with questions before we move into the couple topics we've got in mind?
Totally up to you.
Let's do the questions.
Alright.
Alright, let's do that. Get them out of the way. So you've got one there ready to go?
Yes, I do. The, two questions that we... Oh no, we have like 4 questions.
Do we?
They're all from Chris Christie.
Of course they're all from Chris.
I think he's our number one fan of the Driven podcast.
He must be.
Yeah. But you know what? That's okay. I'm actually just trying to find...
I've got one of them here.
Oh yeah?
So one he replied back to me with was... The first one is crashing in 86 really a bad thing? And the simple answer is yes, because it makes crap all power. It's a P-plate legal car. If you crash that, you can't drive. That's the simple rule, I reckon.
I still rate them, though.
I think they're fun cars, but I think they need a little bit more power.
Yeah, all right.
They'd go well with some boost, I think. But I think styling-wise, they look fantastic.
Yeah.
I still would like them. But I think power-wise...
There's so many of them on the road now, too.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing if you've got... if you're into modifying cars, that's actually probably a good thing.
Because
there's so many, like, grandmas that drive them.
Yeah.
Like, legit, I've seen so many grandmas or, like, mums that have them.
Really?
Just dead stock, they just go to Woolies in them. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, I mean, this thing, so... I think they're a solid option, but... Crashing them? I think it's... I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's rear-wheel drive, so it is possibly not the easiest thing to drive in the wet, but... It's got traction control. If you know how to drive, it should be fine. So yes, it is a bad thing.
I have a lot of friends actually turn off my traction control while I'm driving. It's a joke.
Why?
I don't get it either.
I don't have traction control.
It's not funny.
I mean, I don't have any.
Yeah, of course.
I've got nothing.
Which one are we talking about now?
Both cars.
Oh,
so the Silvia definitely doesn't have it. It barely has ABS. But it's... To turn it off, like... The only real time to turn it off is if you're trying to go sideways. I don't see any point to turn it off.
I know.
Unless you're in the snow.
Well, I have the button next to my... it's just underneath the center console.
Ah.
So my friends will turn it off on me as a joke. All the time.
It's a joke. It's like, oh, you can have me an accident. Either. How funny. It's
haha,
like,
hilarious.
It's like the old school, like, oh, I'm going to pull your handbrake on you while you're driving. Like, no, don't be an idiot.
You're telling me traction control is the new handbrake?
No, because, like, people used to... You know the thing where it's like people would rip the handbrake while you're driving?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, don't do
I mean, I have never had a friend do that.
No, neither have I.
I wouldn't appreciate it.
I've had friends that have had that happen and their cars get totaled. Yeah.
No. I
mean, like, Polestars we're talking, but...
Polestars.
But still, like, it's just stupid. I don't give a people stupid in cars.
Yeah.
So
one time I was going down the Kingsway in Cronulla.
Yeah.
And I had a friend in the passenger seat, and she talks a lot with her hands, and she knocked my car into neutral.
Oh, Jesus.
While I was going 80 k's.
Wait, was this manual or auto?
It was an auto.
Okay.
It was Doug, the Pulsar. And I've never heard a more ungodly noise come from that car ever. And that car's been through a lot, but that was the worst I've ever heard it.
I've done that before, like, I accidentally, I think it was in the Silvia, I, like, knocked it out of gear as I was driving.
Yeah.
I think it was about to accelerate and it came out of gear.
Oh.
No, it was the old car. It was the old Silvia. And because the gearbox, I realised now that it was just the gearbox was shitting itself.
Oh, my God.
But it came out of gear and it was, like, driving, and then all of a sudden it's at red line. I'm like, oh, fuck, like, what have I done?
It just sounds ungodly.
It does. It's like, it scares the crap out of you.
Mm.
But then the other question from Chris on this one is, why is yellow the best colour to wrap any car? And the answer is you're wrong.
You are very wrong.
Yellow only suits specific cars. Like, and the right yellows.
Well, I don't know about that. Yellow is like my favourite colour. So you could give me a yellow car in anything and I would probably love it.
I don't know. I
just feel like it's so much personality.
I don't know. Like, I like certain yellows. Like, S15s, listen, for me that's my base of knowledge. But like, S15s and GDRs and that sort of stuff, I hate the yellow.
Really?
Yeah, it's like...
You don't want a little bumblebee?
No, because it's like a disgusting, like, pale yellow. But like, there's two I've seen that look fantastic. There's a guy who used to live near me, and it's the Renault Megane pearl yellow.
Oh, interesting.
Fantastic colour. Like, yep. It looks great.
Mm.
And then there's a dude in Melbourne who's, I think it's up for sale at the moment, S15, it's Audi RS3, I think, yellow, and it looks awesome. It's like a
interesting,
more mustardy colour, and that looks good, but like the pale, like...
What about the, like, bright yellow? You know Ashley's Skyline?
That's the same colour as S15 yellow, and I'm not a fan personally.
Really?
Yeah, it's too pale.
No, I love yellow.
It's more orange in it, I think, like that more.
I think I like yellow cars because some of them are so ugly that I'm like, I love you.
Well, I think like yellow Beetles, I'll get behind that, even though it's a disgusting yellow, but it's like, it suits it.
It's got character.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'll get behind that, but it's that balancing act.
Yeah.
So, and then the other question Chris has is...
Oh, wait, just while we're on the topic of wrapping, the ultimate color to wrap any car is orange. Muller Motorsport orange.
Gosh.
Clearly.
If I was going to wrap my car, I'd probably go with...
Orange?
Sadly, no. It's weird. I hate my car red. Mm. I really hate the red.
Why? It's so classic.
I don't like the color of the red. And then also it fades and scratches and stuff like that really show.
Yeah, okay.
But if I was going to wrap my car, I'd go with as like a wrap that's a... What do they call it? It's like diamond red. And it's like red but with like flakes in it. And it looks...
What kind of, like, metallic flake?
Yeah, like metallic, like, what? Gold flake in it. It looks wicked.
Interesting.
And, like, I'd do that, but then at the same time, I still hate the red, so it's like, maybe I should look for, like, blue or something.
Yeah, probably. But no way.
Blue. Oh, it looks so good in blue.
But it's so classic in the red, though.
I hate it. I've had two red ones, and I hate red on my car. Oh, yeah,
that's true. You're probably over it by now.
I'm a bit bored, yeah. Mm. But I'm not painting it, so.
See, my dream car one day, I want to have an R8. In matte black.
See, I don't know what it is with matte black.
It's just so sexy.
But have you ever got to do with matte black to take care of it?
I actually haven't, to be honest.
You've got to use like special car wash, and you can't like, you got to wash it a certain way, because if you like do it, it like polishes it and it becomes shiny.
Okay, well, I will admit, if I'm owning an R8 at any point in my life, I'm going to live in a mansion, and you know, fair. It will just stay underground.
And you have to get it detailed like once a month. And,
yeah, precisely. Of course. Yeah, I don't get it washed, dream. I just get it detailed.
Washing cars is for peasants. I'm getting it detailed every month.
Weekly.
Get that paint protection. Mm. But I've actually been learning a lot about that, because I've got a friend who just went and bought a franchise as a detailer.
You shot for them, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to their opening night for the studio. So he bought a franchise and he's got this little van for that. Shout out to Steve, by the way. Which I'm sad, because he sold his S13 to do it, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
But I've been learning so much just in the posts he's been putting up, like about like ceramic paint protection and all that sort of stuff, where there's like, there's so much stuff I didn't realise. Like, I mean, they used to give me crap because I used to, my old car, the old Sylvia, I used to go to the car wash and use the brush, which is like, you don't do that if you care about your car, because you just get swell marks. But the paint was so shit, I didn't care. I was like, whatever. And now I'm like, I care more, but now I see every single swirl mark in my paint and it annoys me.
Oh,
which is why I was like, I'll just wrap it, and that way I won't have to see it.
You won't have to look at it.
Yeah. But, oh well.
Just hide your shame.
So much like to learn though about it. It's like, it's an insane world. Like, I was like, oh yeah, I know how to polish my car. No, there's like so much more than that. Like everything. I'm like, okay, I'm dangerous. I'm scared to get in this world because I'm going to end up spending a crap ton of money. But oh well. So yeah, lots to learn. And then his last one is specifically for you. He says...
For me?
Yeah. He says, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm alright. Chilling. Killing.
Something villain. No?
No. Haven't heard that one.
No?
Just chilling and killing at the moment.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then what's... You got
one? Oh, yeah. So he's also sent in... So he sent in like 6 questions.
I know. He's got lots of questions. Damn. Which scares me.
Let's give him a little shout out. If you want to follow at Chris Christou on... and it's Chris with a K to begin with.
Yeah, like Kardashian Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also just a nice ASMR moment. I mean, I'm going to open my can of Red Bull because I'm tired. That's going to sound so good. I can't wait to hear that.
All right, so his question is, what's the feeling that you get when you sell your first car?
Is this Doug?
Strap in, kids. I'm going to warn you now.
Oh, no.
It's horrific. I cried that, so hard.
If you like the car, that's the difference.
Well, who doesn't like their first car? Surely you didn't. Did you have any attachment to it whatsoever?
A little bit, but then I'd gone and bought another one that was exactly the same and better. So that's kind of like...
Yeah, fair.
I get, like, you go with how you feel first before I get into my depressing...
Well, I think you heard a little bit about my first car in my first podcast.
Yeah, you said I think so. We've spoken about it before, like, not on recording or anything, so I know a little bit.
Yeah. So, basically, my first car was a 97 Nissan Pulsar. He was a little sedan. He was super cute. Loved him. He was the love of my life. His name was Doug.
10 out of 10 name for a car.
Yeah, unless he was going uphill. In that case, it was Douglas. when you needed to use a more assertive tone.
It's like when my parents like say my full name. Lachlan. Like, as soon as my middle name comes out, it's like, oh damn.
On a side note, I hate when people are like talk about you as Lockie. I'm like, who is that? Who are you talking about?
I've never been one for nicknames, so I like as in like no one's just ever.
Really? The second anyone calls me Claude, I'm like, yeah, we'll be best friends.
Here's me renaming your bloody hard drive.
Oh yeah. Anyway, sorry, back to first.
Back to Doug.
Oh, poor Doug. I had so many stories with that car. And I don't know, I was just really attached to it. I bought it off my nan for like $500 when she gave up driving.
Solid buy though.
So it's been in the family the entire time. And then, you know, I made it my own. It only had a cassette player and there was only one cassette that worked in it. So for 6 months, I listened to Am I Ever Gonna See Your Face Again by the Angels on repeat.
That's a solid song.
For six months?
Nah, fair. I mean, come on, that's what mods are for. That's why
you yeah, so out. I did. I ripped it out and I put in a single cell
stereo.
Which is like my first achievement.
Best thing ever to do that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm in a new position because my daily now, which was the car I meant to drive in and the car I drove that my parents like gave me to drive. And it's not mine. I just get to drive it. I've never really seen that as like my first car.
Oh, okay.
For me, like the first car was the first Silvia.
Yeah.
Which is it's a hell of a first car.
I feel like
car
your first car is the one that you put blood, sweat and tears into.
Yeah, like that was a piece of shit, that car. But like, I don't know, like when we did the stereo in like the Hyundai, it was such a pain in the ass to do. And we're like, oh, we couldn't get it to secure properly into the little tray that it holds the stereo in.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, well, that way if anyone tries to steal it, so they don't just rip apart the whole dash. Because the dash, basically, where the cluster and everything is, it is all one piece from the edge near the door to the middle of the center console. So we had to rip all that out to get the stereo out. So we just went, oh, we just won't screw it in. We'll just like leave it. So like now it's just sitting in there. And like, that's why my car rattles. Because it's that rattling.
Amazing.
And it's like, it's $100 stereo. I can't be bothered to do it. Mm. Oh, well, it can just stay like that.
Yeah.
But like, best thing you ever do in first car, 100%. Like,
oh, definitely.
Because it had like a radio that did not work. It'd like, you'd be halfway through listening to a song and it would change stations randomly. Yeah. It's like, it's time for a new stereo.
It is time for a new stereo. I listened to that one song on repeat for like 6 months. I also went through like 5 FM transmitters. Because they all break. None of them last longer than like 3 weeks. You plug it into the little cigarette lighter part and you pick a radio station.
And at that point, like the money you spend on that, it's like, I could have just bought a stereo.
I literally bought 5 of them because like they 20, all break. Each. Yeah.
Like the stereo that's in the daily now.
Yeah.
Is like a $100 stereo from 5 years ago and it still is going strong.
I bought the $100 one from Repco.
Yeah, I think mine's like super cheap. But like,
have the same one.
I've 100% worn out the skip button, because all I do is, because I've got like such a range of various music in my playlist, like, not feeling classical today, I'm just going to skip, and I skip through songs. It's the best.
No, I have the same problem. I skip through songs so much that people are like hating on me for it.
Yes, and I'm like, I don't want to listen to classical. A song
that
like,
I want to listen to.
I've got like everything from classical to like Aussie hip hop to like electronic to everything. Yeah. And it's like, people go like,
dude, I could go from Les Mis soundtrack to R&B in the next.
I can't do Les Mis.
Really? I sung Frozen the whole way here to uni today.
Jesus. Yeah, but that's like a 5-minute drive. This thing, I'm listening to an hour's worth of music every day. Mm. And I'm like, I'm sick of it at this point.
Yeah, fair.
But, I mean, I've got a classical. Like, everyone's like, why have you got classical on your playlist? I mean, for those of you who don't know, I played saxophone for like 6 years.
I never knew
that.
Yeah,
no, I was in school band. I learned sax.
You were a band kid.
I was a band kid, yeah. I was not cool in high school at all. But I played sax and I did that for my HSC as well. And I've still got the videos.
That's cool.
But I did that. So I've always been interested in various types of music. But I was playing Forza. And if anyone's played Forza Horizon 3, there's a radio station that you can pick, all these different stations. Mm. And one of them is like a classical one. And I found out that nothing is funnier than going drifting with classical music playing.
Yeah.
So now when I go to Wet Pan, I just blast classical music.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Beautiful. It's the funniest thing.
That's nice.
But I end up not being able to drive because I'm laughing so hard at like some dumb thing. I don't know. It's amazing. Mm. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I don't know. I like for you, like you loved your first car.
I was so sad when it went. But also I've done horrible things to that car. Like I crashed it and I've never felt more guilty in my entire life.
It's like need band-aids to
I've never felt more guilty about anything in my life. Should have
kept him turned into a race car.
Well, you see, I couldn't even bring myself to get a new car. I had to fix him. So I bought an exact replica.
And swap bits over.
And swap parts over onto the cooked one. You I didn't even keep the
you one. Legit, you should have turned him into a race car. Legit. You just buy like an SR20.
I couldn't do that to him.
You could have done a race car. That's what I want to do with the data. I've been saying it to mom and dad for years. Because like, everyone talks about like civics. Like, you've seen like, is it Jordan Cox?
Yeah.
You've seen him in like the improved production series. Like how he can drive that Civic.
Yeah.
Against cars with like twice the
displacement. Yeah, we just went to Winton altogether.
Yeah, there you go. So I was saying like, it's a car that doesn't make a whole heap of power, front wheel drive, but it can go quickly around a track.
Also, he's an incredible driver.
That as well, yeah. I mean, that's a massive factor. Yeah. But I've always been like, hey, the daily is a 2-litre Hyundai that's front wheel drive. Mm. And I mean, I've looked into the engine and that sort of stuff back when I wanted to modify the crap out of it.
Mm.
And like, I don't know, like I've always wanted to turn it into a race car. And I'd be like, no, it's not happening. And I'm like, it would be so sick.
Yeah.
Strip the interior out, give it like, you know, a turbo. It would be wicked. And they're like, no, it's not happening. I'm like, fine. But
I mean, the money might be spent better elsewhere.
That's true. But I mean, I don't know, like, because for me, like, the first car, what I see is my first car was the Silvia. And it was, the first one was an absolute nightmare. Mm. Like, I replaced everything from motor, gearbox, turbo, body panels. Like, I changed the boot lid over.
Yeah.
I changed out, like, intercoolers, radiators, gearbox, diff, suspension, all the brakes, wheels and tires, like, all that sort of stuff. I spent, like, 20 grand in a year keeping it running. And then found the current one for way cheaper than I bought the previous one.
Yeah.
And in much better condition. I went by. But I was also a little bit, like, I was a tiny bit sad in the sense of, should I be keeping it and just trying to make it better and, like, fix it? But I kind of went, nah, it's too hard. Yeah. But I still felt bad, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like that was the car that sort of first was my, like, this is my car.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I felt a bit bad.
No, I get it.
But I was kind of
happy. I kind of want to find Dog and buy him back.
Do it.
Well, Triple S. I know that the guy who bought it off me lives in Wollongong. So, if anyone has seen a white Nissan Pulsar with the number plate UVD493, please let me know.
You can probably run the plate and find, that being said, he's probably still in Wollongong because what's the chances?
Well, he's probably sold it for cash, like for metal. Because
yeah, I was about to say. Like,
oh no, that hurts my soul. I mean, look,
the chances are he's probably still in Wollongong because Ousley's pretty steep, so the chance of him
making it. Yeah, he probably drove it home and didn't make it any further.
Wouldn't make it back up Ousley, so he's definitely still here.
Mm.
But I don't know. First cars were a fun one.
You know, I wasn't even there when he came to pick it up and to sell it.
Oh, yeah. Same with me when I sold the first Silvia.
Yeah.
Like, I was on my way to Melbourne. This was, like, just over a year ago.
Yeah. And I probably would have changed my mind if I had been there.
I felt bad because I felt like I got Dad to record mine leaving. Yeah. Just for, like, the eFame on Instagram.
Mm.
And in the video, the car sounds like it's knocking. And I'm like, I still feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, it didn't sound right.
Mm, interesting.
But I think it was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude's rebuilding the motor at the moment, so.
Oh, so you know where it is now?
Yeah, the dude added me on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
he kind of, like, giving away a pet. It's like, what's the new updates?
But he'll message me and be like, hey, do you know what the story is with this? Like, he sent me one that was like, oh, do you know what this little box is in the, like, underneath the parcel shelf in the boot? And I'm like, I've never seen that ever. I don't even know what that is.
Interesting.
He's like, oh, okay.
So where you hid all your drugs?
Yeah, right. Standard Stilvia stereotype. But yeah. So then the other question Chris had that was there, one of the things I wanted to talk about was what's it like growing up in a motorsports-based family?
Oh, yeah.
And that's one that's more so important for you because I did not.
I feel like this is my podcast.
That's fine. You've got more interesting stuff to talk about than me anyway.
No, this is your podcast. You didn't really grow up in a motorsport family, did you?
I grew up in a family that liked motorsport in the sense that we'd always go to like Oran Park every year and watch the V8s. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Dad was always into cars. Like, he's got his Mustang now. But I mean, I was sort of like 60, obsessed 60. With cars from like the age of 5 and have been since.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also just me. Like, my brother doesn't care. Mum's sort of like, whatever.
Mm.
But for you, it's like your family loves it.
It's a family affair.
Which I think is often the case, like, that's often the way it works.
In what sense?
When you have a family where they're involved in motorsport, it's the whole family. It's not like one or two, it's everyone. Everyone's involved in some way.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where I think it wouldn't have worked for my family because there's not that interest there. For me, I was like, as a kid, I was like, I just wanted to do go-karting or get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it, there wasn't the, they weren't sort of interested, which is why there was no real push in that direction. But that's part of it.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. My mom like was like not that interested until Tom and I started to get into it.
Yeah, and I think she becomes interested because you guys care about it.
Yeah, I think she just thought it was something that Dad did. And then he dragged us all into it.
So it's his fault.
It was all downhill from there. Oh, 100%
that's what I needed, see?
Yeah.
I needed Dad to be like, yeah, this is happening. This is what we're doing.
I just like it, though, because it means that I'm probably one of the only people that can actually say that in this instance, my brother is the more expensive child.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, that's fair.
Usually it's the daughters. I can tell you now, so in the Mueller's, it's definitely not.
Yeah, no, we didn't do race car. Have you guys still got the Evo?
Pardon?
Are you still got the Evo?
Yeah, and you know, oh, yeah, we do. If anyone wants to buy it, we're selling it.
It's an Evo 6 for sale. Runs
Evo
the 85.
Five. Who
it's an Evo 5.
It's an Evo 5.
They look the same.
It's perfect. It's all set up. It did really well in New South Wales production touring last year.
And it runs E85 and it smells so good.
It's a great little car. It's a great little car.
Can we just appreciate how good E85 smells?
It's got a good wrap too.
But how good does E85 smell? Legit. The smell of E85. Oh, like,
that's what my house smells like.
It's beautiful. It's my favourite smell. Like, I was going through a tunnel. I think I was going to shoot a car. It was a shoot I did and I'm still going to edit the photo, so I feel bad.
Oh, what a surprise.
I've edited some of them. Okay. But it's the shoot I went and did with Dean, and he's got a 800 horsepower R33 GDR. And we went and shot that in the city. And going through the tunnel behind him in that car, oh my God, it was the best smell on the planet.
That's interesting.
Because it's just like sugary, sweet, like goodness. So I've asked things. So my initial question, I've been sitting in this one for a couple of weeks, is, and this is one that you'll sort of know, in terms of getting into motorsport, I sort of had a bit of a realization. I was listening to the F1 podcast and they had, I'll find the name, they had a driver on there. I think he won the World Championship in 97, so I'll try and remember who it is.
97, that was a good year. That was
a good year.
Great,
it was
people
solid
born
year.
That year.
Hell yeah, it was.
Like me.
Same. And now we're all like having existential crises. Now, what's his name? I'm going to find it. But anyway, I'll come back to it when I find it. But basically, they spoke about getting into, I think this is it, Gerhard Berger, I think, Anyway, sort of spoke about getting into F1 at a, you know, at a later age.
At a later age,
right? Yeah, well, at 21, right? Was it him or was it Jacques Villeneuve? I can't pronounce his name. Yeah, it was. It's Jacques Villeneuve.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke about the fact that, so he was partnered with Ayrton Senna, and that was the co-driver, but Ayrton Senna had been racing go-karts since he was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He came into motorsport at 21 and was within, I think, 40 races or something like that, sitting in a Formula One car.
Yeah.
And it was sort of that, he came into it at 21. And I know times are a bit different now in terms of the whole ecosystem, but
it's really hard to get into.
I kind of went, okay, well, it's not too late if I wanted to, because I've always wanted to. But it's not too late if I wanted to get into it, I think.
To be an F1 driver.
Not necessarily F1. F1's like, you've got to have the money.
Yeah.
But at least motorsport, in a sense of doing some form of driving a race car.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily too late.
Yeah.
So my question there is, what's the starting point? And we've talked about this a little bit before.
Yeah.
But what is the starting point for getting into motorsport in terms of cost effectiveness and just learning to drive?
Yeah.
Where's that starting point?
Oh, okay. So you have different thoughts on cost effectiveness and learning to drive. I think there's different.
Yeah, but you said to me
before about both of them.
About I mean, look, there's all about. I mean, learning to drive in a race setting.
Yeah.
And we said about, you said to me before about the XL series, which you guys did.
Yeah, Series X3 in New South Wales.
Yeah.
What we started in.
Yeah. So in terms of cost wise, because what you said to me, sort of, that's like the most cost effective.
Yeah.
In terms of getting into motorsport, like the karting's expensive, but you don't necessarily go from there.
Yeah. Basically, so, we went into Series X3, but there's a whole heap of XL series that run. I think there's actually two running in New South Wales at the moment because the series split the year after we left.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. But They run in like Queensland and, you know, all around.
But, yeah, it's like a New South Wales comp, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we just found that that was like a good starting point because, like karting's really great and like definitely it's given people some really good opportunities to kind of launch pad themselves.
I think it's good for learning karting because it's very unique in a sense.
Yeah.
But it's expensive to get into. In terms of what you're getting out of it.
Yeah, karting can be really expensive.
I looked and it was like, to buy a second-hand kart, you're spending like $4,500-$5,000. Yeah. And that's like just the kart.
Yeah, and you're not getting that full experience, like that full experience of sitting in a...
That's the thing. And you're not like, you're not doing the same sort of size tracks. And like, I remember when we went for 6 hours at Bathurst.
Yeah.
That there were this XL series going around.
Bathurst. That was like, a great category to watch that weekend.
Honestly, one of my favourites, short of watching during the main race,
watching
there was a little Toyota Echo going around. I think it was like, you know, all the class, I think it was like E or F or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My favourite car on the track.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
there's that
like,
Echo runs in Australian production cars.
Yeah, and my favourite thing about it was it's like, you've got like BMW M4s going around and a Toyota Echo, and it was my favourite thing because I'm like, it's just got so much character.
That that class in Australian production cars is actually getting really competitive.
Not surprised.
Amongst one another.
Because it's affordable.
Yeah. Like, and, it's but cheaper to get it's into. Funny because like we know some of the people that are doing the engineering for them like and they're all starting to get really competitive and like come up to them and be like, wait, like that Echo has like the MoTeC running through it and everything. Yeah. And like they're all starting to like
a MoTeC in
the Echo. I'm not kidding.
Are you allowed to run that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not kidding. Yeah. I rate that. That's sick.
And they're all getting like really competitive with one. It's really cool. But what were we talking about? We were talking about Series X3. Yeah. So the XL series. I think that there's a lot of room for one make series at the moment. Yeah. Like they're really.
I find them really interesting.
I think so too. I mean, it's about
driving,
especially
rather than the car.
Learning to drive. Like it gives you a somewhat equal platform to actually test yourself, but. The benefit of doing the XLs is that they are so cheap. And if you do need extra panels or whatever.
There's always an XL.
Like, when we were doing that series, we would, like, sometimes drive down to Wollongong to visit family and stuff. And we would drive past, like, 4 on the side of the road for sale.
I haven't seen many in a while. Because I think, I don't know what it is, because they still run.
Probably all getting bought for the series.
That's true. But those cars, I swear, ran forever. Yeah. They're, like, the most indestructible cars I've ever seen.
And the thing about that series is that they still drive like go-karters in it. So you're still getting that experience of like learning to drive defensively.
I think that's what you said as well, because when we spoke about it, you said you actually learn to drive because it's so rough, because it's so cheap
because
to fix
it's
the
so
cars.
Cheap. No one gives a
That's the best bit, but...
Yeah, like it's different. Like Dad doing historic racing, like they're all older, they have more money to put into their cars.
But you still don't want to crash.
Yeah, so they drive a lot more... carefully, and you know, like, they're a little bit more reserved about their driving style.
I've seen some big crashes in those series. Like, there was one where like a couple Mustangs got destroyed,
and that's why it's even sadder because the cars are worth so much.
Well, that and they're also like, you can't, like, if it's like 86 series, like, yeah. That's another one that's good to watch is the 86 series because they're all exactly the same car, which is that's where it's about the driver rather than about the car, which I think very much like production. I like that for that aspect, but like say the improved production, I love for the aspect that they're all different and they've all got their strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
We said about Jordan Cox, there's a clip that I legit will pop up every like 3 months or so and I still watch it full every time. It's at Adelaide.
Oh, his move, yeah.
It's at Adelaide. It's through the first that S bend.
Yeah, no one's ever done it.
Taking a A86, which I mean, that's only a 1.6, I think, unless that's been engine swapped, which I'm not sure. But it's the fact that you can see with both cars, there's ups and downs with both of them in terms of like the 86 is a lot faster straight line but Jordan's a lot quicker through the corners and that's where it's so fascinating to watch but something like the 86 series you can watch that and it's about the drivers but it's also a lot more expensive to get into but at the same time if you crash that car you can go and buy another one from Toyota tomorrow so it's that sort of like
accessibility
they've all got that up and down but I think the historic stuff's like it's heartbreaking to watch anything happen in that
definitely.
But like 86 series you kind of go you know, it's replaceable.
Yeah.
In a sense. Like, it still costs you a crap ton of money because there's no, like, insurance.
It is expensive,
But I would think, I think, like, when we went through it all before, like, the XL series is like, you know, you buy the car from someone who's exiting the series.
Yeah.
For, you know, a couple grand.
Yeah.
You then spend money on tyres, which I think is, like you said, like, just buy tyres that last a season.
Yeah.
And then it's just your round costs and petrol.
A couple more set. Yeah, but, yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Like, it's not...
Yeah, so in terms of cost effectiveness, and if you do want to get into motorsport, The XL series is good for that. But in terms of getting into motorsport or like learning to drive, like you were saying before,
yeah,
I think something that I've noticed, like sitting on the back bench and like watching. Just observing, yeah, which is my favorite thing to do,
yeah,
is that I think a lot of problems with drivers that aren't learning quick enough or they're not really getting anything out of it is that they have a really hard time listening.
Yeah, and getting feedback.
A big part of learning to drive and learning to drive well,
yep,
is listening to other people and yeah, just shutting up about yourself. Like
not letting ego get in the way.
Like in one sense you do need to be able to sell yourself because of like sponsors and you have to back yourself. But
you've also got to have the like you got to be humble enough to be able to take feedback and not. I think the thing is people get very defensive when someone goes.
Yeah.
Anytime I've seen it with anything. Anytime someone gets feedback, they always go, "Oh no, but," and I mean I'm guilty of it massively. Yeah. I do it constantly, but it's that people sort of take it not as feedback, as constructive feedback, but as criticism.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that they can learn so much from that feedback, which I've started to do with anything that's sort of.
Yeah.
Separate. It's similar sort of vein where it's like even with like my photography.
Yeah.
I've gone to people that I respect and appreciate their opinion and things and go, hey, look, is there anything you think I can improve on? What can I do better?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the point is you want to improve.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is I think, especially when it's something like driving where there's adrenaline and there's all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
People get very closed. Yeah. 100%. Because they feel attacked rather than, hey, this person wants something, feel better.
Yeah. But not even just, even if we're not talking about driving, but in motorsport, it's a lot about like, because you need to be able to, you need to know the car. You need to have a certain amount of respect for the car too. 100%. And if you are able to actually listen to what other people are telling you about the car or like, that people are full of advice at the track. Yeah. Full of advice.
Because they all know stuff.
You just have to be willing to go and talk to people and listen to them.
Yeah.
And you're going to be miles ahead of anyone else 100%. If you're willing to actually listen to what people have to say.
Yeah. Because that's the biggest thing is that I've sort of, it's funny how much I've learned in terms of this that going through like I think it's very hard now where you've got the internet at your disposal where you can go and look up anything but talking to people who have the experience is probably still the best way of getting information.
Yeah, you're gonna save yourself years of
failures. Well, you don't have to go through the same things that they went through to learn that information. You can find out from them
exactly.
You know now.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know. I think it's still something I'd love to get into. I mean, of course, it's a matter of having the money to do so.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I've always wanted to do it. Yeah. I think. So maybe one day. We'll see.
Mm.
But I think very much there's a lot of talk about it. Now, I don't think it's completely true, but especially with, like, I mean, this year I've been getting a lot more into Formula One and listening to a lot of that and watching all the races and keeping up to date with it all.
Yeah.
But I feel like with that whole ecosystem, it's very much money-driven, that if you've got the money, you can get a drive, as long as you can, you know, drive a car.
Yeah.
Drive a race car at that sort of speed. But I feel like if you've got, you know, fantastic drivers that maybe don't have the funds.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to get into that sort of position because you don't have the, you know, the shortcut through money.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like it's still something that you've got to have that, you know, you've got to have the money to be able to do it, but also be able to do it.
Yeah, so, precisely.
Yeah, maybe one day. We'll see. Who knows? I don't know, race cars are cool.
You got to go out and get it.
Yeah, and also have my family agree to me having race cars in the garage, which is the hard bit. So maybe not anytime soon. Maybe not until I move out of home, because they probably will not like that idea. But so the other thing that I sort of wanted to cover, and before we run out of time, because we don't have a whole heap today, is this morning Apple had a press release or a whole big shebang about they've announced their new iPhone X, which what's called the XS, which is a terrible name because it's completely in excess. To start with this, so they've got two models, and this is the bit that's really interesting to me. So the X is sort of in between the, like you've just picked up a 8 Plus, right?
Yes.
So the XS is the same as the previous X in terms of size, which is just below the 8. Then they've got a new one, which is called the XS Max.
How big is it?
6.5 inch display, which is huge.
That
is right. I'll find a photo. Crazy. I've got a photo here, I think, of the it compared to the 8. But it starts at $1,700. $1,800, sorry.
What?
So I'm looking at the pricing now. So you can get it in three different colors, all that sort of stuff. That's for a 64 gigabyte. If you want a 512 gigabyte phone, which is really not that much when you think about it. Like, my laptop's 512 gig.
Yeah.
And it's constantly full. My current iPhone 7 Plus is 128 gig.
Yeah.
And it's probably about half full. So I think it's sort of surviving pretty well. Mm. That being said, it has a cracked screen. But
like, how would you even fit that in, like, a pocket? Or if you go
I'd
out...
I'd find a way. Because that's an awesome size if you're doing anything. Like, you think about, like, Instagram in particular. Like, I struggle to do... Like, I do all my editing on my laptop. Mm. But, like, if you're trying to draw on anything on a phone, I struggle. Like, it's painful. So, I don't know. I feel like it'd be good for anything creative. For photos, it'd be fantastic to take photos. Mm. And I'll go into all the camera stuff in a second. But the 250, so it comes in three sizes. 64 gigs, $1,800, which I could maybe do with. Like, I'm looking at my phone now. Nah, never mind. My phone's 256 and I've got 20 gigs available. That means that I've got 5,000 photos on here, I think.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, I don't clear them out because I don't have any space on my laptop. No, never mind. I've got 10,000 photos on my phone.
10,000?
10,000 photos, 2,257 videos.
As you do.
Well, this thing, I can justify it, I think, because I do everything. I live on my phone, essentially. Everything I do is on my phone. Like, I use it for everything. There was a period in time in between being at work and then being at uni.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry, finishing school and then being at uni, I barely use my laptop apart from video editing. Like, I barely use it. Everything I did was on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, I can make sense of that.
Yeah.
But, so then, like, this thing, a 256, which I think I'd have to go for if I was going to do it, is $2,050 for an iPhone. Like, do you remember when phones used to be, like, iPhones were, like, $700?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, before iPhones even...
I can't talk because I just went from an iPhone 5.
Yeah.
Like... to the 8 Plus.
But that's like... But the thing is, I think... And I've been looking at this in terms of, like... I'm thinking... I mean, I'd love to upgrade my laptop. I definitely cannot afford to. Because I've got a MacBook Air that's from 2014, right? Mm. And it's sort of... I'm finding as I'm doing more video editing, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
Like, it just... It doesn't handle everything. It sort of... It struggles rendering, all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
But I can't afford to upgrade it. Like, a MacBook Pro is, like, $2,500-$3,000.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't justify spending that kind of money.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing is, it's like... I don't see the point in spending the money in, okay, I spend a little bit less money and I upgrade to last year's model, but if I'm going to keep it for 5 years like I have with this, it's going to be outdated by 4 years' time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, it's like this, well, if you're going to upgrade, you might as well spend a tiny bit more and upgrade to whatever the newest thing is.
Yeah.
So you can keep it for longer. Like, I've had my phone for nearly 2 years now and I'm starting to feel that it's a bit outdated, and that's where I struggle with spending $2,000 on an iPhone that's going to last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, I'm like, well, if you use it for everything... Like, I spend more time on this than I do on my phone than doing anything else.
No, I'm sorry. I think I cannot justify that much.
But this is the thing. When I read it to you like this, right? So this is the stats from it. I'm just trying to find the article. So the X is fantastic from what I've seen, apart from people having issues with the Face ID. I'm just trying to find, there was details about the camera. So it's like, it's 6.5-inch screen is huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's... Basically, it's the same size frame as what your phone is, but the screen takes up the entire screen. So it's the same size, but it's just the whole thing is the screen. Like, that's it.
Mm.
So it kind of makes sense. So it still fits in your pocket and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
But there's some details here about the camera. So the processors, they've updated all that sort of stuff. Face ID, yada, yada, yada. I'm just trying to find the details on the camera because...
This is not 6.5 inches.
Yeah, diagonal. Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how they measure it, diagonal.
I was going to say.
But there was something about... So they've got dual SIM, so you can have two SIM cards, which is awesome if you've got a work phone or whatever.
Interesting, yeah.
I'm just trying to find... There's something somewhere about the camera. From what I saw something this morning, which was that it's like... The camera is supposedly like you can do depth of field... Like, you can customize that when you're taking the photo.
Interesting.
Which is, that's... Why would I carry a camera if I can just use my phone?
Mm-hmm.
Where is this? Here we go. My five most important announcements. Let's check the internet. Because, I mean, look, this is where I struggle, because it's like, technologically, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And they've announced, like, an Apple Watch 4, which I'm like, did they just announce a 3?
Mm-hmm.
So there's another one they've opened as well for the iPhone X. It's the XL, I think, or something like that. I'll find it. Maybe not XL. I can't remember. But
that's,
it's
hilarious,
like,
if it is called the XL.
Where is it? Blah, 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 blah. So, 12 megapixel wide angle and telephoto sensors, 7 megapixel front camera, smart HDR, 4 frame buffer, yada yada. Where's the actually important bit? So it optimizes colors and everything. So it's supposed to be really good with dark light, which is perfect. Where is the actual... I can't find anything that's...
You're so prepared for this podcast.
I know. I usually... Well, I watched a video this morning and I, of course, can't watch a video now. XR is the new one. Oh. iPhone XR. But it's supposed to be like a wicked display or something crazy.
Okay.
But this, I don't know. I'm struggling with it as a... It's like a justifiable purchase. Because I feel like it's an excessive amount of money, even though it's technologically awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just, it's too expensive.
I can't justify spending that much on a phone.
Yeah. It'd be nice if it was like a business expense that, you know, you can write off. But I feel like this thing, I look at it and go...
But even for a business expense, like, I just think it's too expensive.
It is. I mean, let's look at it in this sense, right? That's the XS Max, which is still the biggest one. But, okay, so let's look at it in this sense. So I just got a new camera. Which is a Canon 6D Mark II, which I can only thank my parents for that one, because massive thank you for that, because I was very blessed on my birthday to be lucky enough to get another camera, because mine died when we were at Bathurst. But I look at that and go, that camera's $2,000.
Yeah.
The lens is $1,000, and it takes some absolutely awesome photos. Like, we took some photos on Sunday, which I'm very happy with.
I am too.
Which, I mean, for me, it was nice, because I've never actually... taking photos of people properly before, so I was very happy with how they came out. And I'm like, okay, it takes some wicked photos. That's $3,000 to buy that sort of stuff. And of course, like, I can justify that with the amount of stuff that I'm doing. Like, my last camera, I think, was like thousands upon thousands of photos from that. I had it for 5 years. It lasted 5 years before it died.
Yeah.
Thousands of hours of video. Like, it got some good use. And I can justify that, but when I look at it and go, okay, it's a tool in that sense. That camera is a tool to create things.
Yeah.
It's necessary. $3,000 essentially all up, you can go for cheaper options. I think you can get them for like $2,500 with like a basic lens, and they still turn out pretty good photos.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But to me, when I look at this and go, it's an iPhone and it's as much as a DSLR.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of money for...
It is a lot of money.
For something when... Yeah, I don't know. It's... Because I feel like we've evolved from the stage. Like, do you remember when they first launched the iPhones? It was like, you'd play, like, people would play games, and it was like, that was big. It's like, oh my God, I can play games, and it takes up its whole touch screen or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's like, it's people use Facebook and Instagram. That's the two, like Snapchat or whatever. There's no real other use apart from social media and like texting and usual sort of phone functionalities. And that's where I'm like, it's, okay, it's a tool, but it's... That to me is a bit of money. And I feel like as well, like, it's gotten a lot more expensive to buy anything like that in Australia. Like, their Apple laptops are $3,500, which, you know, it's a laptop, it shouldn't be that much. So I don't know. It's a
No, I can't justify that.
No, and it's a shame, because I really like how it looks. And it's completely waterproof. And in their actual commercial, they're saying it's beer proof, which is another fantastic that's a fantastic tool there. But
you fell for the marketing.
I did. And that's the worst bit now, is that I'm learning about it all, is that I'm now more aware of how susceptible I am to it. So, and actually that comes back to one of Chris's questions, which was, what is the best BCM major?
Who's going to answer that?
I feel like I could very much say what I'm going to be doing, which is digital and social media, but I also haven't done any subjects for that yet. So I don't really have a place to justify my answer. But to me, that seems... In the evolving world, that to me seems quite useful for me. But at the same time, you guys are very unique, because you're in the different position where I'm under the new majors that have changed since the start of this year. You guys are still on the old school ones.
Yeah, we
are. So what's your one again?
Well, I'm a marketing and advertising communications major. So I want to say that that's the best major.
Because what's Chris doing? He's doing...
He's doing a double major.
Oh, man. That's some work.
So Chris,
what
are you
doing to yourself?
I want to say that marketing is the best major, but it is, like, soul-crushing at some points.
Yeah.
So, I feel like digital looks like a good major. It sounds like a good one. I've only heard good things. I think I have to champion marketing because I'm doing it.
It's interesting to me, because I feel like digital sort of it is very much its marketing, but it's then at that more specific level of its social media marketing, and that social, rather than being like, hey, we're going to look at all sorts of marketing. I feel like I actually wouldn't mind doing both, but I've of course got to see.
Guess I have to talk to Chris.
Yeah, well, I have to see how I go with at least one of them, because from what I've heard, like in conversation you guys have had, that social sort of that more like open, that like, you know,
social what?
So like the major for social media, like social digital marketing.
Rather. Oh right.
Yeah, it's that sort of more open and sort of like.
Isn't that just digital media?
I can't remember the names anymore. Let's have a look. But from what I heard Chris say is, it's like marketing's like, it's more like the business degrees where it's like, this is what you do, and it's very structured and sort of like.
I mean, I've done like the difference is that I've done subjects for creative. Coming up with creative strategies for marketing.
Yeah, which I like that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think, but that's not all of it. You have to do the rest of it too.
Yeah, I think for me, like I've sort of, I think doing all of this has sort of made me become more aware of how creative I am and how much creative stuff I want to do, which is, as things evolve, is a lot more, which I think is the hard bit. Like I really want to do a lot of stuff, but it's also a matter of having the time and being able to have things that are, if we go back to the essentials for 114, fast, inexpensive, small and tiny. I should know this by now. Simple and tiny. So it's like, it's a matter of making it that things are achievable rather than being like, I get these crazy big ideas, which you've heard no doubt through our motorsport meetings.
Oh yeah, I have.
Because it's, I always have these stupid ideas that sometimes there's some underlying logic there, but it's also they're massively unachievable and take too long and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's the important thing is, that's where I feel like that structure would work for me anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to find the actual majors, what they are. Because I can't remember what the others are.
Well, they've changed since I did.
Yeah. Let's have a look. So I know there's journalism, which I feel like would be interesting as well, but I also probably would struggle a little bit with that. What do we got? Where is... they're all separated. This is always painful to navigate. What do we got? Study area, communications and media. Let's have a look. Can't find them.
You know they're a first year when they can't navigate the course handbook.
Man. Am I even in the course handbook?
Where are you?
I don't know. I'm searching it.
No, go current students.
Because, I mean, I'm also in the other unique position where I went through the college. So for me, I've never had to look at it. Like, my offer was already done and all that sort of stuff. Undergraduate, here we go. Communications, what do we got? Okay. Communications and media, we have...
That's double degrees. Don't pick the Dean Scotland, just pick
Let's click on that. Okay. The majors are... Digital and social media. Global screen media, which I feel like would be really interesting. Journalism, marketing, communication and advertising, and visual communication design. The sad is, I honestly would love to do all of them.
Yeah.
I like aspects from all of it. So I'm just probably going to spend the next like 10 years at uni.
Probably.
So that's fine. I mean, I can live with that. Okay. I think. Or it'll kill me. You know, we'll see. But that's the other thing I think is very different for me is I've sort of seen, you know how people like will say, you always get the stereotypical memes of like the, oh, I hate uni, can't wait to graduate, blah, blah, blah. I'm loving it still.
It's good.
Like I still, I think it's, I mean, I was working beforehand, which is a bit different, but.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh no, I hate it. I'm like, I love it. I'm enjoying it.
It's good. It's it stimulates your brain.
It does, but it's also the like for me, I think it gives me that nice creative outlet, which is like if I was doing like a business degree, it'd be very different. But
yeah, probably.
I don't know. Everyone seems to be like hating things. I'm like living the dream.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I'm doing two subjects at this point. So
yeah, I know what you're talking about, Willis.
Huh?
What you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, I mean, look, I couldn't do four this session, and then I just wanted to actually give it 100% on another one, so I dropped one.
Yeah.
But
yeah, fair enough.
It's also like, I don't know.
It only means that you're going to do an extra 6 months in your degree.
I don't think I need to. I actually don't think with how mine's structured, I'll need to, but we'll see. Either way, it doesn't faze me too much. I'm just going to be like 30 by the time I graduate at this stage, so, yeah.
Eventually, but that's
whatever.
Okay.
So, yeah, well... Thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, no worries. Episode 2.
Sort of bit of a different one, but you know.
Yeah.
Fun one either way. We'll try and get some more of these out whenever we can get some recording done. So that's the hard bit at this stage. But, you know, experiment, see what works. Try and do some stuff that'll
work nice.
Yeah, if you want to hear anything from us, make sure you tweet.
100%. Any questions? At
Claudia L. Mueller on Twitter.
And we did miss one. That I had a question the other day that was someone inboxed me on Facebook and said, hey, question for you for podcast. What do you think is a good first car? And I'm going to make it very simple.
A Nissan Pulsar, 100%.
That's a good, that's a solid one. But I'm going to say, in all honesty, like, this is from someone who's into cars and into the car scene. In all honesty, the best thing to do, I think, is get something that's A, reliable, B, cheap on fuel, and just, like, not going to give you any attention. Like, you don't really want to be pulled over on P's. Like, something like, you know, a little Corolla or whatever. But if you really want to get something that's, like, a modifiable car or whatever, get, like, an 86 or something. Get something new-ish if you can afford it. I would not recommend a Silvia by any means, but like something small, like Civics. Everyone's starting to do Civic stuff now, and I'm jealous as. So my suggestion.
I would grab a Civic.
Yeah, 100%. I thought about it the other day. Yeah, something fun, reliable, and in all honesty, just wait till you get off P's because it's a lot more fun once you're on your fulls. So we'll probably come back. I'll probably do a whole thing on that at some point. But right. Yeah,
sounds good.
Thank you very much for coming on.
No worries.
Stay tuned, guys. We'll do something soon, hopefully. Who knows?
Cool. Bye-bye.
Enjoy.